All right, let's go to Leviticus. Let's go back there again. We haven't been there in a while. It's been since January that we were, last message we preached in Leviticus, but we need to go back and try to finish up on some of this that we've studied about. It's been pretty good to me. I've learned and I've had to go back and study those offerings so many times till I think I might about have it. I don't know. I'm still going to try to get a chart filled out for, you know, to pass out so it'll help you to remember what they're about. And so let's go to 19, Leviticus 19. Let's read verses 5 through 8. The Bible says there, verse 5, "And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, every one that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." So, it's been a while since we went over the offerings, so let's just do a real brief review here. A sin offering is to atone for our sinfulness, not a specific sin necessarily, just for being a sinner. The sin offering. Now, the trespass offering is to acknowledge and seek forgiveness for particular sins against God and other people. Trespass offering required restitution and among those you had wronged and all of that. So there's a sin offering, there's a trespass offering. Then the burnt offering speaks of consecration to God through the death of the old man. In the New Testament, the old man's dead. The old man is crucified with Christ. The Bible talks about that old man quite a bit. And a lot of people nowadays, they claim that old man's still living. Well, if he is, there's something bad wrong. He's supposed to be put to death. There cannot be a resurrected life unless that old life is dead and buried. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. No death, no burial, no resurrection. And so it's clear. And you have to be consistent throughout the Word of God. God is. He's not inconsistent. He don't leave you confused. That burnt offering speaks of the consecration to God through the death of the old man. Then you have a meat offering. The meat offering was not a blood offering. It was flour and things. And it speaks of the consecration of the new man to the service of God. That's what the meat offering is about. But now the peace offering is what we're going to talk about tonight again. And the peace offering, what is it about? Well, it's a demonstration of the fact that the new man is at peace with God and others. No more enmity, no more struggling against God and His truth, His Word. No more arguing with it. No more resisting it. No more running from it. It's peace. You're at peace with God. You're at peace with your fellow man. You're right with God. A peace offering is a demonstration of the fact that your heart is clear and you're right before God. Now, it means the peace offering and the burnt offering, if you look through your Bible, they were made together almost every time. Anybody mentions about he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He offered burnt offerings and peace. Look it up. I did. It's amazing. That's what they did. Burnt offerings and peace offerings. Affirming that the old life was over. And affirming that the new life had begun. It was the peace offering was two types of offering. One, a peace offering could be for thanksgiving. And if you offered a peace offering with the motive of thanksgiving, I want to offer this and thanks to God. That was the first kind. And the other, I want us to get it right here now so I don't mix it up here. But the other peace offering signified vows or voluntary offerings. And I should have wrote the scripture down. It's in Leviticus 17, I believe. And it's there. I hope I'm giving you the right scripture there. I should have wrote it down. But that explains the difference between the two types of peace offerings. One for thanksgiving, the other in signifying vows or voluntary offerings the Bible talks about. And well, that means simply giving. We do it in the churches now. Well, we should. Sometimes people do. I don't think they do it near as often as it should be done. But people just give to be a blessing. They want it to be a blessing. People did that then. They gave a peace offering because the peace offering was shared with everybody. Everybody ate of the peace offering. Somebody brought an offering to church, you say. And it was just to be a blessing to everybody. Yeah. A voluntary offering. Voluntary peace offering. It was just what they did so that everybody could enjoy being together and it'd be a blessing. The other aspect of it was vows. Making a peace offering to just confirm, to signify that he intended to live for God and do what's right. It was like a new beginning or a new renewal of his vow. It served as a testimony, sort of a right heart with God and with the intention to serve him faithfully in the future. So the peace offering was shared among everybody and everybody ate of it. Now, if it was for a vow or a voluntary offering, it could be eaten that day and also the next day. If it was a peace offering for thanksgiving, it was to all be eaten the first day, not the second day, not the third day. If it was for a vow or just as a blessing to everybody, it was to be eaten. You had 2 days. You had 2 days to eat it. Otherwise, if it was for Thanksgiving, you were to eat it that day. So the limit was put on it here. Now the meat of the peace offering was to be eaten the same day or the following day, but absolutely not on the third day in the scripture we read in Leviticus 19:5-8 here. It's talking about the second kind of peace offering, not Thanksgiving, but a vow. Making your vows. I've paid my vows. You read that a lot in the Bible. That means they've made their offerings. They've been to the temple. They've done what God commanded to do for the state they're in their soul. If they were a sinner, if they had trespassed against God or other people, they'd made their sacrifice. If they were just testifying and being a blessing to other people, they made burnt offerings. And peace offerings and meat offerings, because that was a blessing to everybody else. You know that is? It is a blessing when other people just reaffirm, I'm going to live for God. And I am at peace with God. And I'm not living in sin. And I'm not sneaking around. And I'm not doing dirty deeds. And I'm not being evil. People go to church now. And that's what they talk about, is how evil they are and what sinners they are and how they can't help it and how everybody ought to just have pity on them because God does. And that ain't the way it was here. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the New Testament church by far. And we can just see it by looking at these offerings. It was not to be eaten on the third day. It was abominable. It was not accepted. If you ate it on the third day, you ruined the whole thing. You defiled the whole thing. You profaned the whole thing. It was about more than getting sick from eating bad meat, too. Don't get that idea in your mind. Well, now, that was just why they did it. They didn't want to get some bad meat. Because, you know, we're awful picky about that. We're afraid we'll get poisoned, which you ought to be in this dirty society we're living in. But that wasn't what it was about. Now, when you went and made a sacrifice, you brought the offering. The priest made the offering. He sacrificed the offering. He did the did his part. But if the people don't do their part, it's not accepted of God. Are y'all listening to me? It's a cooperative thing here. Now, the priest was there for a reason. It wasn't back then, and it's not now, where everybody's just their own priest and does their own thing and worships God in their own way. That's a bunch of junk. Never was that way with God, and it's not that way now. We do this thing together. That's why God set up the church, and He didn't set up a virtual church either.
That's right.
We're talking to somebody today about it, and a lot of people are understanding that. It's just not supposed to be that way, where you're just looking on a screen and seeing. No, fellowship is not that at all. Now, the priest may do his part, but if the people don't do their part, it's not accepted. The significance is that what we're served in the house of God together, we're to take and swallow it down now, not later. You can't just put it aside and say, well, I'll deal with that later. No, you deal with it now. You take the scroll and eat it, the God told Jeremiah. He said, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but it'll be bitter in your stomach. In your belly, he's in. And it was. But you eat it anyway. The significance, that's what it is. Now, spiritual nourishment always comes through the Word of God. The Word of God is the bread of life. And it's necessary for spiritual life. Jesus said to the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when the devil tempted him in the wilderness, he answered and said, because Satan had said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Because you're hungry. He was afterward and hungered. And then 40 days, 40 nights, no food. The devil said, just turn them into bread. You can do it. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what is it that nourishes our soul? The very you. I mean, what the essence of your life and what you are. What is it that nourishes you? Bread?
Yeah.
No, the bread of life. God's Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's what keeps you alive. Spiritually. People that think they can pray a little prayer and then they've got eternal life.
Yeah.
And they don't read their Bible and they never get... A lot of them won't even go to church. And they hate preaching and they won't listen to nothing.
Right.
They're deceived.
Right.
When you are born into the family of God, you're going to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to have to be crammed down your throat. You don't have to force feed these babies. When they're born and they're alive, you don't have to force them to eat. They'll eat because they're alive and they've got an appetite and they desire what it is that they have to keep them alive. And it's that way spiritually too. If you're alive spiritually, if you've been born again and you're a new creature in Christ, you'll be desiring the Word of God, not the things of this world. Amen. This command not to eat the peace offering on the third day speaks of the fact that we need fresh bread from heaven every day. God didn't dump a load of manna on them once a week. Not even 2 days worth except for the Sabbath. If they went out and gathered more than the day's portion for their family, it spoiled on them. Bread and worms. Except on the Sabbath. 2 days. That's all they could keep it at the most.
Right.
And that was only on the Sabbath. Any other day of the week, it spoiled on them. God, give us this day our daily bread. Don't give me my week's groceries. He didn't say, pray, give us this week our weekly groceries. No. Give us this day our daily bread. Take not thought for tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. And don't worry about the things of tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof.
Right.
Think about today. For your food, for your cares, for everything. That's the way God wants us to live. Now, men say that's not wise. You ought to be thinking farther ahead than that. Well, God don't want us. Jesus didn't lie to us. Take not thought for the morrow.
Right.
Don't be worrying about it. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be trying to get ahead of God. Well, it's the same way with spiritual things and spiritual food. It is. You need it every day. You don't need 3 days worth at a time. We can't continue to live off of the same meat that we got in the past. Even if it was as recent as the day before yesterday. That's too old. It's stale. If we keep trying to eat it, it won't work for us. It also speaks to the fact that Jesus was sacrificed and He rose the third day. Now, to continue to eat of the peace offering is to deny or fail to acknowledge His resurrection. You say, they didn't know all that. Yes, it was there. It absolutely was. All these things were shadows and pictures of Christ. He said so. He said it all is talking about me. You think you have eternal life in the Scriptures, but it's speaking of me. All these sacrifices, the tabernacle, everything about the worship and the atonement for sin, and it was all about Christ. So that's what this is about. You can't eat it on the third day. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. My wife, she scolded me for not giving all the verses again, being in too big a hurry. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. For He is our peace. What are we talking about here? Peace offerings. The peace offering. All right. For He is our peace. How can it get any plainer than that? Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So that verse tells us, see, that all of this peace offering is also speaking of Christ and His atonement. And the peace that He's going to make, how He's going to reconcile us to God so that we can be at peace with God, be at peace with other people, be right with God, and be living right. So, eating it on the third day? No. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, He was alive again. You don't eat something that's alive. And you don't keep, you know, like, what this is really talking about here is like, well, the Catholics, they have Jesus on the cross. They don't talk much about His resurrection, except during Easter time. Anytime you see Him, He's dead. He's dead on the cross. If they're wearing a crucifix, it's a dead Jesus hanging on the cross. They're still trying to eat that peace offering. Days and days after. You know, they're stuck there. They're still eating that. They're still trying to suffice themselves and live on death. Not life. It's a very serious matter here because the penalty is to be cut off from among the people. Well, that's, other than death, that's the most serious penalty imposed by the law of God on anything. Other than death. You get put to death for some sins. You know, murder, adultery, all those things. There are some sins that God commanded that they be put to death. The next most serious sentence was to be cut off from among your people. And that's what this is. For eating it on the third day, because there's still some of it left. Yep. Therefore, there's got to be much more meaning to this than even what we've talked about already so far. God considers it a great sin to profane holy things. And that's the main issue here. In verse 8, Leviticus 19, verse 8, therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. To profane is to make common or unclean. To treat something sacred as if it's common and unclean. The anointing oil that God gave the recipe for, and he put the same kind of penalty on it. I think it was death, wasn't it? If somebody tried to make that oil and use it for something else, he'd be put to death. Because it's holy. It's set apart. It's for this only. And when you take it and just try to make some perfume out of it because you like the way it smells, you treat it like it's just any old thing. See, that's what's going on now. I mean, if you can, you know, how many people do you really think during all this live streaming church, how many people you think clean up, put on their church clothes, and sit on their couch or whatever, or do anything special at all for their live stream church? Well, I don't think so. There might be somebody somewhere. But for the most part, what does everybody do? Well, they just stay in their pajamas.
Yeah.
They eat and drink, and everything they do is profaning sacred things. They have no reverence, no respect. It's not the real deal, so it's just a common, unclean. It's just common like everything else. By the third day, it will have ceased to be so special. You have a turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. Boy, everybody's excited about it, you know, or a big nice ham or something. Now, what about 3 days later when you're still eating sandwiches out of it? How many of you thrilled about it then? 5 days later. It ain't so good, is it? No. That nice ham that everybody said, "Mom, this is a good one. Boy, we just really like this. Woo, where'd you get this ham? Where'd you get this turkey? What'd you put on this turkey?" 3 days later, a turkey again? We're eating that again? My point is, you see how it works? By the third day, it ain't so special anymore. No, it's really, it's disgusting to you, to a certain, if it's anything, that's what it is. Sure lost what it had at first, didn't it? It's not as thrilling, don't taste as good, it's nothing to get excited about. It's nothing to praise now, because you done had it for 2 days in a row. Another one? Another day? In fact, it does become common and monotonous, and we become apathetic about it. We don't care about it anymore. Your concern, your care, your affection, your desire for it, wanes, whatever, as by the third day. It just don't mean what it's supposed to mean by the third day. The peace offering is about having a right heart before God and with His people. Fellowship must be maintained and renewed often by communion together. And I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. I'm not talking about that kind of communion. I'm talking about being together. That's why that it's so important in this time we're in for the people of God to be together. Now, I know the disease, if there's really a disease and it's endangering people's lives, then we ought to have common sense and we ought to do the best we can to cooperate with everybody else so that people don't get sick and die. But somehow, some way, God's people have to be able to be together as much as they can. They don't necessarily have to touch one another and all of that. But they need to be together. This long distance virtual stuff is not good enough Here's what me and another preacher is talking about today. We put our preaching out there for other people to hear. Every time we preach, it's out there in different places for people to hear it. And I think that's good, and I think we ought to do that. But I'm always careful to make sure that they understand that we're not doing this as a substitute for them going to church. I don't want nobody staying at home listening to the preaching that I put on the internet and not going to church and thinking they don't have to because they got enough preaching at home. Mm-hmm. There's some people who can't go, and they are stuck at home and not able. They need to hear preaching, and that's fine. And it's helpful to them and good for them, but it's still no substitute for church, for assembling together and being with one another. Fellowship, that's what this peace offering is about. Y'all get that? Now, that's important. This peace offering was about everybody eating together, everybody worshiping together, everybody taking part in somebody's thanksgiving, somebody's generosity, somebody's love, just to want to give and be a blessing. The peace offering wasn't about necessarily about the priest, the preaching to them. It was about their edifying one another and encouraging one another, being together, eating together, providing for one another to eat together. Fellowship has to be maintained and renewed often. I mean, you can't just do it one day and everybody take a doggy bag home with them and everybody's good for a week. That's what this verse is. These verses are teaching us not to do, not to have that kind of a mindset. I know a lot of people, and they can come on Sunday morning. That's all they need. Some people's cup, they say they've got a little cup. Don't take much to get it running over. They can get it on Sunday morning, and they're good for the week. Well, it's not biblical. It doesn't work that way. The peace offering was not only about what the priest served, but it came from the people individually. When they partook of the meat of the peace offering, they were aware that it was provided by someone else in the congregation. You got that?
Yeah.
The priest didn't buy the meat and bring it and serve everybody. Somebody in the congregation provided it. You know? And it wasn't because it was their turn. They didn't draw lots to see who had to buy the meat this time. It wasn't that way. It was a voluntary offering. If they were going to do it, they had to do it from out of their own heart. Willingness of heart. They had to be willing to do it. That makes a difference. That affects everybody else. When somebody willingly gives. It's a whole different thing than when the preacher and the leaders take this high-powered offering, faith promise, and they pressure for a week everybody in to promise them to give so much and give more than you can and give more than you know you're even going to make. Watch. It's a whole different thing to come to church and somebody provided. Somebody did it to be a blessing to everybody else because of God's goodness to them and because they're at peace with God and right with God and happy with God and they love God and love God's people. And that's why this is happening.
Yep.
Everybody goes away encouraged, edified, helped. So we edify one another often. And all of us sacrifice to help nourish one another spiritually. That's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus fulfilled all this. He didn't do away with this. This is just a picture of how it's supposed to be with God's people. These things are supposed to be present in the New Testament church. Not the animal sacrifices, no. Not the priests, no. And the blood and all of that, no. But the principles and the things that it was about. They're supposed to be in the New Testament church. So when you know, we ought to always Well, I keep missing my place here. Any attempt to eat it on the third day shows that no one was given, no one's providing anything to help the souls of the brethren. They're still trying to eat what they had 3 days ago, because there ain't nothing new. You see why that's an abomination to God?
Yep.
See why that's offensive to God? Any attempt to eat it on the third day shows that. Now, we should always have fresh meat at church. We shouldn't be trying to eat old leftovers from the past.
That's right.
I don't mean we ought to be finding new things all the time.
Yeah.
It's like I've been telling you, I've been reading the book of Acts, and it's just like, it's almost like the first time I ever read it. And I know, I can tell you about what the next verse is going to say. But it's, and I know that sounds, that don't make sense to people that don't understand what I'm talking about. But the Word of God is like that. It's the bread from heaven, and it's always fresh. We don't have to have new ideas, new doctrines, we don't have to have all that. We just have to have the bread. I mean, you make bread the same way every time, don't you? Pretty much. I mean, if you make bread, but bread's one of those things that, you know, when it's hot out of the oven, that's when I want to eat it, right now. Right now. Don't let it sit there and get cold and hard, and it ain't near as good, is it? Right now is when it's good. Fresh out of the oven. That's the way it is with the Word of God. When it's right fresh from heaven, that's when it's good for your soul. And that's when you enjoy the blessing of it. You know, she'll make rolls, or some of the rest of you'll make rolls, and they're real good, right? She'll bring me one, usually, when they're hot, because that's when I want it. 2 days from now, I'll just walk right past it. And she'll throw them out to the coons out there, the possums. Just don't want it. It's the same bread, but it doesn't appeal to me near as much. We ought to have fresh bread at the church.
Amen.
When you come, bring something for everybody. You know, if we're going to have a dinner or something like that, y'all do this every time. Y'all get together one day, you bring green beans and you bring this and you bring potatoes and you bring that, don't you?
Yeah.
And all their desserts, you're real good at that. Everybody does that. Everybody pitches in. Nobody just sits back and lets one person do it. Do you? You'd feel like kind of a heel to do that, wouldn't you? You walked in with nothing and say, "Wow, let's see what we got tonight." You'd be ashamed of yourself. Well, it wouldn't work very well if every time we had a fellowship dinner, the preacher or some other person was the only one that brought any food. And it won't work very well if he's the only one that ever contributes any spiritual food, and that each of us need to survive in this world. The peace offering wasn't just one person that brought it every time. It wasn't the priest. It was all the people. The people who were right with God. Who had some reason that they wanted to worship God and be a blessing to everybody else. Probably had to take turns. You know, I want to offer. I've got something I want to bring. Well, you have to wait till next week. Somebody's ahead of you. Well, that'd be a whole lot better if it was that way, wouldn't it? It'll not work very well. Like that. Now, let's not let the food spoil. Let's have enough to eat so that no one's trying to eat leftovers that'll poison them. Or that'll make it so unpleasant that they don't even want to mess with it. And let's work together to make sure that no one has to go home hungry. Everybody ought to bring something. You ought to have a desire to be a blessing to other people. Not to show them how much you know or what great thing you figured out or what new light you've seen, but to be a blessing and a help to other people. You know, a preacher's not worth much if he don't have that kind of attitude, is he? That's the great difference. You got the kind that are in it for themselves. That's hirelings. And they are about just building an empire, building a work, and they use people. They're not, and then you got the kind that are just want to be a blessing. They're concerned about the people. David and Saul, like we've been talking about so much, there's your types right there. David cared for the people. He was concerned about their welfare. He wanted to make sure they all had enough, that they were well. That Jesus was that way. He went about doing good. He did all things well. He said, we can't send them home like this. They've been with us 3 days and they're hungry. We're going to feed them. How? Well, there's always a way. And he fed them. And he did that more than once. Well, that's our example. And that's how it ought to be. You ought to come to church with something to give. Something to be a blessing. And you know, there is infinite ways to do that. Infinite ways. You don't necessarily have to dig in your Bible until you find some nugget to bring to everybody. Just be real. Just be faithful. Just be encouraging and not discouraging about serving the Lord and trusting the Lord. And everybody's got problems and everybody's got challenges in their life that they don't know how to get past. And so just encourage people to trust the Lord. God will take care of us. And He'll do what's best for us. Just be still. And know that He's God. He can be a blessing to other people. That's what this was about. So, all right. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for understanding that You give us. And thank You for helping us to see more and more how we're supposed to be. And how the church is supposed to be. And what this is all about and what we should be doing. We've been misled and shown so many wrong ways through all the years, and we've had the emphasis put on so many things that really don't matter while neglecting the things that really do. Things like this help us to see some important things that we need to be paying attention to and putting some action to. Lord, help us to be careful for one another. Help us to be a blessing to one another, and help us to give and provide and encourage and edify spiritually, not just with the physical food of this earth, but with the spiritual food from heaven. Lord, we love You and thank You for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.